you'll like it.
Are you recording?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Planning Control Committee meeting for 14th of March 2019. Members, you've had placed in front of you the minutes for December, January and February. I do appreciate you have not had time to read them. So rather than you sit there and read them for the next couple of hours, I think it would be a good idea if you take them away and we pass them at the next meeting. All in agreement?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. Yep.
I've got apologies from Councillor Michael Muir. Thank you, Val Shanley, for substituting. Also, Jean Green. I was led to believe that David Barnard was substituting. He may have been held up on traffic on the way here. Councillor Paul Clark. Thank you, Terry Tyler. And also apologies from Catherine Henry and Councillor Bill Davidson. Notifications of other business, I have none. Chairman's announcements. If the fire alarm sounds, it will not be a test. Please leave as quickly as possible by the nearest exit. If you have mobility issues, please alert a member of staff. Members of the public and the press may use their devices to film, photograph, or do a sound recording of the meeting, but please raise your hand to let me know you are doing this so that I can inform all present. Please do not use flash photography and disable any beeps or other sound notifications that may emit from your device. In addition, can I remind all present that in line with the council policy, this meeting is being audio recorded. Please could members, officers and public speakers announce their names each time they speak and speak directly into the microphone to assist members of the public. To clarify the matters for registered speakers, members of the public have 5 minutes for each group of speakers. That is 5 minutes for objectors and 5 minutes for supporters. This 5 minute time limit also applies to member advocates. The bell will sound after 4.5 minutes as a warning and again at 5 minutes to signify that the speaker must cease. Members, you're reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out on the agenda should be declared as either a disclosable pecuniary interest or a declarable interest and are required to notify the chairman of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest wish to exercise a councillor speaking right must declare this at the same time as the interest, move to the public area before speaking to the item, and then must leave the room before the debate and vote. Item 5.
Chairman, we have before us this evening 3 sets of minutes. There's no provision in the agenda to actually discuss these minutes.
Shame you didn't listen.
Thank you, Councillor. I did say at the beginning you have 3 sets of minutes in front of you, which I appreciate you haven't got time to read now, tonight, and at the next meeting, after you've had time to read them, we will discuss them and vote on them then. Item 5, on pages 5 to 26 of the bundle. Land on the northeast side of Priors Hill and opposite Hill Farm, Priors Hill, Burton, Hertfordshire. It's a residential development comprising of 24 dwellings, including 8 affordable dwellings, together with provision of open space with seating, a perimeter park, archaeological information boards, footpath link, and access to Priors Hill. I have public participation this evening of Mrs. Diana Burley, who, good evening to you. So after the presentation and the updates from Tom Rake, our Principal Planning Officer, I will invite you to speak. Okay. Can I therefore pass on to Mr. Wright to introduce the report?
Thank you, Chair. I do have some updates for the committee this evening. Firstly, we have received comments from, additional comments from Burton Parish Council, and they raised the following points in connection with this application. They welcome the reduction in the height of plot one, although they remain concerned that there are no other reductions given the sensitivity of the site and rising ground levels. There's concern at the lack of bungalows within the development. The entrance gate feature at the front of the site should be removed. Concerned at the amount of close border fencing, which is not wildlife friendly. They request that at least 10 visitor parking spaces are provided. There's concern regarding archaeology and that the archaeological work on the site has not been completed, which may affect the layout of the development. And finally, there's concern that no consent application has been made to Historic England for works within the scheduled monument area. There's concern that there are no powers to require the developer to complete the works within the monument area, and therefore they consider the application is premature and should be refused by Planning Commission. Secondly, Chair, we've received comments from Purton Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group, and their comments can be summarised as follows. The group requests consideration is given for the development to include one-storey homes to reflect the style seen in nearby Thorpe Gardens and Daneville Road, and to meet the Chiltern Conservation Board guidance and the policy NP 2.5 of the neighbourhood plan. They request a lowering of the heights of the dwellings, and they're concerned that the boundary treatment will adversely affect wildlife. There's also concern that interference on key views as set out in Neighbourhood Plan Policy 7. Again, concerns over archaeology. They consider no approval should be given until the archaeological conditions have been fully complied with. It's concerned that the scheduled monument consent has not been applied for, and therefore the application is premature. There's also concern that a footpath cycleway link through Port Gardens should be secured, and finally, it's concerned about the amount of car parking. And finally, Chair, comments received from Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, they advise that the access for fire appliances is adequate. Take you through the slides.
Excuse me, can we have it turned up, please? Can't hear it.
Can you pull it towards you, Tom? Bit? Perhaps a little bit more, Tom. I'm sorry to every time we have this. Thank you.
Okay, is that better?
Which yeah.
Better? Thank you. Members will be familiar with this site. The site is on the northwest side of the village, and as you'll see there, the whole of that pink area is the application site. The top half of it is the scheduled monument, and the lower half is the application site. So photographs across the site from Pryor's Hill. You see in the background Thorpe Gardens to the left and Daneville Road to the right. Properties in Daneville Road there. And this is Pryor's Hill with the access just on the right. Views across the site towards Ball Gardens, and this is Pryor's Hill in the background with the two-storey property located on Pryor's Hill. It's a more recent photograph of the site where you see there's been significant archaeological works have been taking place with topsoil being stored on the site, and archaeological works are still continuing on site. Site is on the left there, on the right is the scheduled monument area. Wall town in the background. And again, it's a photograph of the inside of the site, extensive archaeological works. The whole of the site has been stripped for the archaeological works. And that's looking towards four gardens at the sort of the eastern end of the site, which includes single story and two story dwellings. So this is the application site line in red. You'll see the development there on the bottom part of the site, 24 dwellings with a central access road. This is the layout plan showing the scheduled monument, which will become public open space, and the development to the south. landscape plan showing both landscaping within the site and the layout plan there showing the proposed footpath to the right, which will link up with footpath number one, which runs into the village. Again, layout plan showing the turning areas for refuse vehicles. And this is a plan showing the various external materials for the properties. And the affordable housing is in the top right-hand corner of the site, comprising 5 units for social rent and 3 units for shared equity housing. This is the elevation as seen from Pryor's Hill. To the left there, plot 1 has been reduced in scale to a chalet-style dwelling. And moving to the right towards Davidville Road, two-storey dwellings. And again, cross-sections through the site of the various house types. Some detail of the access, which is agreed at the outline of the planning stage, with a footpath connection to Davidville Road to the right. And this is the information regarding various ecological measures for the site, including bird boxes and bat boxes, etc. So take you back to the layout. Thank you, Chair.
Could I now invite Mrs. Diana Burley?
Chairman, do we not get a chance to question the presentation? I mean, we usually can ask some initial questions now before, and then we have discussion.
Can you save them for discussion, please?
Right.
Right. Because you might change your questions after you've heard Mrs. Burley.
I'm not.
Local and rural character of the with particular particular consideration given to these elements reflected in dwellings in the immediate vicinity of the proposed development. The dwellings in the immediate vicinity are those in Walk Gardens and Danefield Road, both of which have single-storey dwellings facing out onto Priors Hill Road and the AONB. The application does not accord with this policy, and it is not enough to compare the appearance and scale with houses further along Priors Hill. Additionally, NPPF paragraph 127 refers to surrounding built environment and landscape setting. You've seen from the plans that the surroundings are Hawk Gardens and Danefield Road. Single-storey dwellings will also ensure compliance with PMP 1.4 about the needs for homes suitable for downsizing and lifetime occupation for the elderly, but that's a byproduct. I'm talking here about appearance and scale. I have read the arguments put forward by the applicant with regard to housing mix. I quite agree with Ms. Lye, who wrote the report, that housing mix is not a reserved matter, but I find their arguments are all straw man arguments, as the applicant has already agreed changes to the scale and layout of the plan following outline permission. And though it is suggesting fewer bedrooms overall, the original plan that outlined today is indicative only as a matter of law. We still say that the ridge heights are far too high and outside of the norm for Purton, if you read our neighbourhood plan and character assessment. Layout, our concern is the proposed footpath through the scheduled monument. It does not have scheduled monument consent and currently would need to have wooden straight stakes driven into the scheduled monument in order to have the footpath and cycleway. This is something that normally Historic England don't like, and I do think this needs to be deferred until Historic England. It's no good Ms. Lye saying that it'll be fine, they wouldn't. Historic England have got to decide on that. Parking. Our parking standards are higher than your parking standards and should be applied. There are not enough parking spaces for the three-bedroomed houses. I've dealt with archaeology, construction, traffic management plan. Strictly speaking, not part of tonight, but can I say the community is horrified, and I underline the word horrified, at the construction and traffic management plan that has been agreed. Hitchin Road, along which the traffic will come, is on both sides, have verges that have a protected designation as heritage verges. This is part of policy 4.5 and has been utterly ignored by the applicants, and I'm sorry to say it was seen by the officers who discharged the condition. There is no protection for these designated verges. I do believe Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust has written to the officers to raise this issue. Thank you, sir. I'm very happy to take as many questions as people would like to ask me, so I can say more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, have you any questions of... Councillor Harry Spencer?
Yes. I read as part of the submission that Parish Council was concerned, turning to the height of houses, which is one of your points, because of the nature of the rising ground that there is on a certain part. This links into what I was going to ask Mr. Ray. The illustration he showed us, showing the new lower setback plot one, and then looking, as we saw on the slide to the right, the ground was sloping down. So I'm a little bit confused, yes. A bit confused about the concern about the rising ground and the height, perhaps overbearing nature of the houses, etc.
You're seeing, sir, just the view from Priors Hill itself. The housing goes back and the land is on a slight rise. I appreciate that the applicants have tried to vary the heights of houses according to the rise of the land, but what you can't see from any of this is that when you look at the site from further away, from down the bottom of Priors Hill, from the Driftway footpath in Shillington, from across the valley, the hill rises up and they're just on the brow of the hill and it continues and then levels off. So that's not a, if you like, it's not just what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole of the estate.
Okay, so it's the cresting of the outline of the building set. Okay. Thank you. I think your other point we will ask Mr. Ray can respond to in due course, and perhaps some other members have some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You said that the archaeology hasn't yet been completed. Have you any indication as to how long it's actually going to take to complete?
Well, the archaeologists have been off site for at least 8 weeks. I don't know why they've stopped. But they haven't done the access way. They haven't done inside the boundary hedge. And it may be, Ron might be able to help us, it may be that they're waiting for the specialist contractors to come in to remove the asbestos off another section, and they will come back after that. And I'm raising it because I really, really don't want the officers discharging this condition before the archaeology is done. And so, strictly speaking, it's not really for you, but I'm saying it publicly so that things can't be done that we don't know about, as we didn't know about the construction traffic management. Sorry, that sounds awful, but from the community's point of view, we do feel quite hard done by.
I'm talking to Paul Well.
Are there any other questions from members at all?
Yes, please.
Councillor Well. Yes, sir.
Could we ask for a guarantee on the report on the archaeology excavation? No, I'm asking the officer.
At the moment we're asking questions of Diane Bowen. No? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You can ask that question of the officers soon.
Yeah.
Can I now invite Mr. Douglas Bond from Wolf Bond Planning, who's the applicant's agent? Good evening, Mr. Bond.
Evening, members. As your chair has confirmed, I'm Douglas Bond, the planning consultant for the applicant. This application is for reserve matters approval, which follow the grant of an outline planning permission for 24 dwellings on the site. Accordingly, as you quite fairly heard from the previous speaker, the principle of development on this site has been agreed, and this application relates solely to the details associated with that permission. This applicant prides themselves with bespoke housing design and an overall development that seeks to very much respect the character and appearance of the locality. In this regard, the proposal includes a rich variety of dwelling designs that reflect the semi-rural context of the village. In this regard, I do note that the Parish Council welcome, they say in their representations on the application, welcome the good mix and design styles and materials proposed. Further amendments have been made to these proposals following consultation responses and discussions with your officers to ensure that the scheme results in a high quality and sensitive development for this part of Perth. That development is compliant with your local plan and the neighbourhood plan policies. Associated with those amendments are improvements to the landscape features within and on the edge of the site. For instance, native tree and hedge species are proposed along Priors Hill frontage, together with a generous setback of dwellings, which ensures that these properties are in keeping with other houses along Priors Hill. The introduction of a planted hedge along the internal spine road within the site will also create a more rural feel to the scheme, as well as enhancing the outlook from proposed homes within the development itself. And that's an example of one of the changes that has occurred to the scheme since it was submitted, following the consultation responses from the parish council, the neighbourhood plan steering group, and your officers. The new homes are sensitively sited and front on to the scheduled H1 monument, creating a better transition to the open space for the development, whilst also providing high quality natural surveillance and views across this new publicly accessible space. The development fronting onto Pryor's Hill has also been reduced in scale by the introduction of a chalet bungalow, again in response to residents' issues and the discussions with your officers. This ensures that the development avoids a dominant visual impact on the surrounding open space and countryside beyond. The surrounding areas on this western edge of Burton do comprise predominantly two-storey detached and semi-detached housing, with a variety of roof forms and external materials. The proposed development is compatible with that prevailing form and character and therefore is consistent with the relevant development plan and neighbourhood plan policies. The proposed mix is also compliant with your emerging or about to be adopted local plan policy HS3, which relates to design and character-led issues. The mix also has been largely fixed by the terms of the original outline consent and the associated 106 agreement. Again, the housing mix is agreed with your officers. The County Council have confirmed that the proposed internal access arrangements, detailed sweat path assessments, pedestrian cycle accesses and refuse details are all acceptable. In relation to visitor parking, your policies require 9.25 spaces on the site. This scheme provides 10 spaces, so you can access it for standards. Your urban design and landscape officer also confirm overall no objections to these detailed proposals. So to conclude, the applicant is very proud of the scheme and are keen to deliver it as soon as possible in order to secure what we believe are all positive benefits that will arise from these proposals. The application following negotiations agreement with the officers is recommended for approval, all of which I hope confirms that these detailed proposals result in a high quality but sensitive addition to the village, such that I hope you can support the application and approve these reserved matter details. Just on a point of clarification regarding the stalling of the works in terms of the archaeological dig. The reason they've currently stalled, it's only a temporary reason, some of those outbuildings on the site do have asbestos. That has been addressed, obviously, and rightly so, and then following that, those archaeological works will then continue. I hope that's helpful clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Members, have you any questions or clarification of Mr. Bond's presentation? No?
Yes.
Councillor Harris, please.
Thank you for that, Mr. Bond. Nevertheless, the issue still remains, does it not, that the Purton neighbourhood plan, which you claim to be compliant with, does lay stress on having some single-storey houses for retiring people, downsizers, etc. I wonder how do you justify the fact that the scheme you feel is compliant with what is a clear desire and priority of the Purton neighbourhood plan?
The neighbourhood plan does not set a prescriptive requirement for particular schemes to have a particular number of single-storey properties. That's the first point. The second point is that the scheme has, where we felt in discussion and agreement with officers, a reduction in the scale of a property and a particular part of the site from a visual perspective.
Top one.
Correct. And the scheme does still include small scale properties in terms of a reduced number of bedrooms, which is still appropriate for those downsizers, and also the internal configuration of those dwellings will be compliant with the requirements for disabled access and so forth, such that those objectives to which you've just referred to can still be met within the proposals for you.
Right, thank you. I have one follow-up, unless another member wishes to ask.
Councillor Senegal.
Could I ask, and I suppose this is to the officer and to developer, could we ask for a guarantee that the archaeological report for this site will be generously funded by the developers and that building on the site will not progress until the report writing is underway?
If the conditions require that, then clearly that will occur. My other understanding is that that archaeological report clearly will be made public, and I also understand that there is every intention that there will be an interpretation board which will form part of this new publicly accessible open space, which will hopefully inform the existing community of what's been found on the site, and also hopefully further one's understanding of that site, which will be clearly of benefit to the residents, and also creating a better sense of place rather than just looking at an open field. You'll actually know what has occurred in terms of the historical context of that field and site, which can only be of great benefit to residents, hopefully the children, the school, and educational experience. And in that sense, you do create a real benefit in addition to the village, and that's what really what planning and development and placemaking should be all about. I really sincerely believe that this scheme can fulfil those admirable objectives.
Harry Spence, one last question.
Turning to the point about how you were listening to the parish council, you reconfigured the internal layout with the hedge along the spine of the access road. My question really is concerning the trees that you'd be putting in. We've heard from Diane Burley the concern about the profile of the new houses as you're looking from below. We're also in the papers can see the sensitivity of the AONB so close. I note what you've said about the generous setbacks and how you're trying to soften, as it were, the edge of the development. So my question is, we see wonderful illustrations here of really quite high trees doing the softening in visual terms. How large are the trees going to be that you put in, particularly at the entrance? They look quite large on the plans, but I mean, will they be semi-mature? Will they be 4 metres kind of thing, or will they be just metre and a half?
I've taken my glasses off because I've got an A4 version of the landscape plan, which does include a schedule which does indicate the heights of those trees. I am going to confess that my version, I'm about a magnifying glass, I probably can't read it, but your officers might be able to assist you in answering that. It's not that plan, it's the site layout plan, which has got details of the planting schedule.
I missed that as well. I did see the species that you were using. But some developments take 25 years to soften into the landscape.
We don't have it then, I take it.
Unless Mr. Rear has got it, I think he has got it right in front of him.
It's not on the presentation though, is it? Well,
that's your presentation.
No, I'm aware of that, but I was going to say if you stop.
No, it isn't there.
No, okay, fine.
Clearly, if I may.
Can I ask, before we continue, Mr. Wright to answer that question?
Thank you, Chair. Just through you, there has been a submitted a detailed landscape plan with full details of the species type, the height of of each tree, and the density of the planting. That's part of the landscape scheme has been submitted.
And can you tell us how high, for instance, the trees at the entrance would be when they're put in?
Can you to assist Mr. Riddick, when one looks at that plan, you look at the key, the sort of darker, slightly larger tree is keyed as extra heavy standard tree, and those are the ones that characterise the new planting along the passage. So whilst I'm not going to try and guess, I'm never wanted to mislead about the precise height, the key clearly indicates that those will not be little sticks, those will be semi-mature, as it says, heavy standard trees.
Sorry, sir, can you turn on your microphone, please?
Thank you. Did anyone hear what I was saying?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
If members decide to approve the reserve matters, that plan with that key indicating extra heavy standard trees will be an approved plan which will require extra heavy standard trees to be planted along that road frontage, which I think or hope secures the objectives to the relief.
That's helpful. We're left guessing what that is. We're guessing about 12 foot. That's helpful. I'm going to guess that's about 12 foot, unless I'm disabused of that, Mr. Ray.
Chairman, I have pressed the button, but the gentleman seems to have left. I need
three questions. Can I now invite Tom Ray to respond to any of the issue raised during the speaker's presentations?
Chairman, if I could just put the committee in a picture with regard to the archaeology. We have a condition which was attached to the outline planning permission. I think it's mentioned in the report, condition 10, concerning the archaeological requirements. And that required a written scheme of investigation, which is a standard archaeological document which explains how the work is going to be carried out. And condition 10 has seven elements to it. We have part discharged that condition on the advice of the County Council's Historic Buildings Advisor, only insofar as the written scheme of investigation is acceptable as a document to be used going forward. But the remaining parts of the condition, which require various aspects of the work to be recorded in archaeological journals, etc., those parts of the condition haven't been discharged yet and will not be discharged until the County Council Archaeological Officer is satisfied and instructs us to do so. I do apologise with regard to my comment regarding the soil stripping at the front of the site. It seems that some topsoil has been removed, but I do stand corrected if I'm wrong in that regard. Moving on to compliance with neighbourhood plan policies. The neighbourhood plan policies do have to have regard to the council's district plan and the national plan policy framework. So they have to be in conformity with those two documents. And whilst there are specific policies in the neighbourhood plan concerning various matters, they are not entirely prescriptive, and indeed, I don't think they were drafted to be very prescriptive.
Wrong.
There are, for example, just looking at the policy concerning the bungalow development, paragraph 1.4 states that there has to have regard to the need for homes suitable for downsizing and lifetime occupation by the elderly, including bungalows and sheltered accommodation. That isn't a specific direct requirement of every development. It's saying it has to have regard to. And similarly, with regard to the wildlife policy concerning the movement of wildlife where you have boundary fences, 5.3 of that policy talks about boundaries between dwellings should be marked where possible by hedge planting rather than hard fencing or wall boundaries, etc. And turning to the parking policy as well, policy PNP 13 talks about larger houses, three bedrooms or more, having a minimum of three parking spaces. But also in that policy, it talks about where it is difficult to meet the above requirements on plots. For example, for terraced housing, additional parking bays or service roads in front of the property will be considered acceptable to help achieve compliance with the parking standards. So there's three examples there of flexibility within those policies in the neighbourhood plan. And taking into account that development on any site in this district has to be acceptable in the round, and that's talking about all aspects of that particular development, whether it be density, design, compliance with parking standards. You have to get to a point where is that development sustainable or not? And whilst any development may not tick all of the boxes, if it meets sustainable development in terms of the social, economic and environmental requirements of the NPPF, then generally speaking, it's acceptable in planning terms.
Members, have you any questions or clarification of the officer's presentation? Councillor Ruth Grell.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to clarify about the parking. So the neighbourhood plan says three spaces for three bedroom or above, and that's higher than the North Harts District Council policy. In 4.7.10, you say that the parking is compliant, and you've just mentioned this. So I'm a bit confused, so I just want to know, because there are some garages that don't meet the compliance, but there are two off-street parking spaces with each, and there are 10 visitors. Can you tell me, under the Purton neighbourhood plan, how many parking spaces would make it compliant, and how many parking spaces we actually have? Is that clear?
I can't tell you at the moment, but I'll try and work that out. But I can tell you that throughout this development, there are 58 garages or parking spaces plus 10 visitor spaces, so 68 parking spaces provided for this development of 24 houses.
That's a lot. Can I just ask how many of the garages meet the 7x3, or is it all? Is it none of them, or all of them, or some of them?
Some of the garages do meet the 7m by 3m.
Okay,
wide,
so they could be counted as parking.
Yes, some of the double garages are 6m by 3m, which don't comply with the parking standards document.
So just wanted to know in total how many parking spaces comply, including the garages.
Can I come back to that? Just
thank you.
In the meantime, Councillor Daniel Allen. Again, sticking with the parking. Sorry. You've mentioned the one of the bits that would allow there to be flexibility in the parking would be on-road parking. Will the width of the access road allow for on-road parking and access for emergency services and bin lorries?
Through you, Chair. The access road is 5.5 metres wide. And the, as I said earlier, on the meeting during the updates, the fire and rescue service say the access road is adequate to accommodate emergency vehicles. So, in answer to your question, yes, it is satisfactory.
That's the just the access or the full area going up to the houses? Just the access section off? Because...
No, the access road is 5.5 metres wide for its full length, apart from the section where you get to between plots 6 and 7, where it narrows down, leading towards the public open space. And the tracking plan, which I did show to you earlier on, shows a vehicle parking in that turning area.
Thank you.
Councillor Michael Weeks.
Thank you, Chairman. Two questions, if I may. First of all, if we can go back to the trees and the hedges. I just wonder why the original hedge along the front of the development was scrubbed out. We seem to have scrubbed it out only to be reinstating it perhaps a metre or so back. And I just ask if there's any reason why that is. Maybe the existing hedge was not very good or something like that. It was distressing. And secondly, I note that the developer is, on the basis of good design, trying to make the roof lines match the slope of the ground, which is good. But when we get to the end of the slope, the last house, can you tell me how that compares with the roof line of the houses in the bulk, please?
I just put a photograph there of the access to the site showing the verge. I don't think that hedge was of good quality anyway. Looking at the, it looks to not be around for some time. It's been cut back. I'm not sure how much has been cut back or over what period of time it's been removed, but it is being shown to be replaced with trees and the hedge early in the landscape hedge.
Councillor Mike
Hewson. Thanks a lot. Would you be able to comment on the assertion that some of the dwellings are actually on the crest of the hill and therefore don't quite fit in with the overall village and development?
Thank you, Chair.
Just
go back to the street scene drawing. It probably will help to show if there is a rise in levels on the Friars Hill frontage. So we see to the top left there on the drawing, plot 1, which has been reduced in scale. You can see from both sections there the rising land to the left, which is the reason why we saw plot 1 to be a single-storey dwelling with a single-storey eaves height. And then the land falls away again as you move towards Danefield Road. So we felt it was necessary for that plot in particular to be reduced in scale to reflect that rising land levels on that part of the site. You can see from the ridge heights there, plot 1 is slightly lower than plot 2.
About behind those? That, I think behind, that's what they said.
So you can see the street scene there. You've got various sections there through the site with a varied roof line. To the left there, the middle drawing is the part of the site which moves towards Port Gardens, and to the right is the part of the site towards the higher part of the site towards Priors Hill.
Thank you.
Councillor Ian
Murphy. Thank you. In 4711, you referred to cycle storage for the properties without a garage. Is the storage provided big enough to take things like an electric scooter, electric mobility scooter, or a double buggy?
I really couldn't answer that question in any detail. Scooters vary in size, don't they? And buggies do as well. with some larger mobility scooters. Certainly the 6x3 garages may have some issues with larger mobility scooters, but standard car, I don't know, 4.5 metres to 5 metres, even with a 6 metre garage, it should be enough room to park a scooter.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I was actually asking about the cycle sheds, cycle storage sheds.
His microphone's not on.
No. I was asking about the, in 4711, it's talking about cycle storage for those properties which don't have an integral garage. I was wondering if this cycle storage is designed to be big enough to take anything more than bicycles.
I think they're meant just to take a standard size bicycle.
It's a concern that we must remember that there are lots of other vehicles which people will have, especially if we're going to encourage them to not use their cars. There are going to be a lot of other kinds of vehicles, and we really, in a situation like this, should be looking to make sure that there's adequate storage for basically pushchairs and mobility scooters.
Is this a question of the officer, or are you debating it now?
It's a question of the officer.
Through you, Chair, I take the point the Councillor's making. It's possible that a further condition could be attached, something along the lines of, notwithstanding the submitted details, further details could be submitted, or the cycle storage sheds to accommodate the vehicles that you mentioned.
I'll be quite happy with that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Harry Spencer-Smith.
So this concerns the question of whether it's an adopted road or not, and I think from the papers we see it won't be an adopted road.
Most unlikely
to be. And this brings me to my point that in the village, and another development done about 10 years ago, Coleman's Close, as you go into the new road, there is a, in my view, horrible highway sign saying humps 30 yards. Which is lit with a light. I mean, if ever there was a more urbanising kind of out of context.
Harry, is this a question?
Yes, so my question is concerning lighting, street lighting and general lighting, and I wonder if an informative could be inserted on this. Have you seen, nobody's talked about this, we're going to a lot of trouble to soften the development with trees and things. I just hope the street lighting would be sober and unintrusive, and if there is anything that will attain to the development, not to have flaring lights and security lights all over the place.
I don't think we can stop individual householders putting security lights in if they want security lights.
Okay, well, I'm talking about especially intrusive ones, but and street lights, yes.
Sorry, I'm just checking the conditions on the original planning commission. Just bear with me.
Mr. Ray is looking into that. Members, would you like to debate this application?
Sorry, Chair, I can't see any conditions on the outline commission relating to street lines specifically, but again, I think that matter could be dealt with by condition, as the Councillor suggests.
I'm happy. I just want to bring it to your attention, to everybody else.
What would you like adding to the condition?
Well, the street lighting should be done in consultation with the parish council.
Okay.
to see that it conforms with existing luminosity and level of lighting that is appropriate for a rural location. It's a detail, but it is right next to the area of outstanding natural beauty. And you know, I rest my case. Right next to it.
It's been noted. Then it will be added as a condition. Anything else? I think it's part of the debate. Have we got a recommendation from anybody then? Councillor Michael Weeks.
Chairman, I find this to be an acceptable layout with good design of houses, and we have 8 affordable dwellings within the development, and I move the proposal to accept, Chairman.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Hunter?
Thank you kindly, Chairman. Yes, I'm happy to second, and also I think everything that was in the conditions of the first outline coupled with what we've currently got here does cover all aspects that I was concerned about, even down to the fact that we've got no control over historic England whatsoever, and it's entirely up to them to act as far as the monument is concerned. So I'm happy to second.
Councillor Daniel Lyon.
Please, can we confirm the amendments that we're going to put through?
Two amendments.
Over to you, Mr. Brown.
Chairman, I've noted two conditions. One is conditioned along the lines of, notwithstanding the submitted details, further details of the cycle storage facility shall be submitted to and approved in writing by the local planning authority. The details shall include facilities for mobility scooters. And the second one is concerning street lighting, details of which shall be submitted to and approved by the local planning authority in consultation with the parish council. And the reason for that being to recognise the sensitive location of the development.
Are you happy there, could I just confirm that there's definitely no way the building can progress until the written report arrives from the archaeological dig?
Yeah, it's on the outline.
That is on the outline.
It's on the outline.
Brilliant. In that case, yes, very happy with that. Thank you, Chair. Okay. Could I ask members, therefore, to vote? The recommendation is to pass. Wait for all your lights to flash. Item 6, pages 27 and 32, land east of Hayling Drive, Patridge Park, Luton, Hertfordshire. This is change of use from school playing field, that's a D1 use, to public open space, a D2 use. Tom Donovan to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chair. Just get myself into the right spot here. Right, so this application is essentially a submission of an identical scheme that was submitted and approved by this committee in 2015. The consent expired in August 2018. The application has introduced change of use of school playing fields to public open space. Just give you a bit of an indication on where the site is. We'll start off with this plan here. The site is hatched there in the orange. It's on the very far east edge of Luton, so the land is owned by Luton Borough Council. It obviously lies within our district. The black line you see down the middle of that plan is the district boundary between Luton and North Harts. just to give you some context in terms of what it looks like at the moment, it, as you would expect, the school playing field, it's completely open, there's nothing on it at present, and I understand that it isn't being used at this moment in time. The site is in the Greenbelt, those all serve the openness and the purposes. In essence, what you're seeing there on this plan, on this photograph here, is not proposed to change at this time, so I'm quite happy with that in that respect. It is within the setting of the Grade 2 listed Puttridge Park, but again, it's not considered it was climate setting. And I think I'll just leave it there on that image. Thank you.
Members, have you any questions with Mr. Donovan? Would you therefore like to debate? Councillor Michael Winks.
Chairman, prima facie, we will be perhaps foolish to refuse this application. It's good, isn't it? What concerns me is that Luton do not appear to be being completely frank with us as to their existing plans for this site. For instance, they propose a 24-space car park on the site and a public pavilion. Now, why are they not being frank with us? It's not just a field they're giving us. They want to develop it further. And I'm totally displeased with the way they're reacting on this application. We won't refuse it. I know we can't refuse it. We'd be silly to refuse it. But I would like some sort of note on our application to grant that we would expect Luton to be frank with us in future and at least tell us what they're doing.
Would you like to respond?
Thank you,
Donovan.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, there's been indicative plans that have been circulating with respect to Wandon Park, which is the green lodge. It's noted on there, Wandon Park, which is subject to some potential development plans for Luton. And I'm aware and have seen indicative plans showing development on the piece of land that we're debating. Obviously, we would retain full control. Any development of that land beyond what we potentially be approving today would obviously be subject to planning. We would no doubt be discussing it at this very committee in the future if that was to happen. There'd obviously need to be exceptional circumstances for us to approve anything. To your point, I'm not convinced, though, that there's really anything that we can quite say on a decision notice that would be anything other than a little bit overreactive, potentially, although I do take the point that I'm not sure it would really be fair and related to the content of this particular application. I can certainly raise it with the applicant if that would help.
Would that help, Councillor?
Well, I would just like some reference to the fact that we have picked up their plans to further development. That's not.
Does that mean that Mr. Donovan would have to come back to us for planning permission if they're going to do anything on it?
Anything on the side needs planning permission.
Yeah, so.
We are still in control, Michael.
Yeah. So?
Yeah.
Okay, happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Councillor Hunter.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I think we're all aware that Luton have plans, but as our officer has pointed out, they've got to come back to us whatever they do on the site. Yeah. So we will be aware. So it's not a question that they're going to build something on it overnight that we don't know about. That's not going to happen. We've got to take this at face value, and I'll move the recommendation as per the officer.
Have you got a second there?
Yes, second.
Thank you. Can we therefore vote on the members? Item 7, pages 33 and 40, the National Grid, Catwood Lane, Hitchin, Hertfordshire. Construction and operation of an urban reserve 2x2 megawatt gas-fired power plant. Again, Tom Donovan to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, so she says construction and operation of the urban reserve, 2x2 MW gas fired power plant in land of Wallace Way, which there aren't any updates. This is a little bit of a tricky one to try and demonstrate that the website is potentially, hopefully, you've heard of it and you're aware. Again, it's denoted by the orange hatching. It's a very small site just at the end of that particular building. If you know that particular area, Wallace Way comes off Cadwell Lane, and this is at the very far end, essentially a dead end within Wallace Way. The site, just to show some context, again, I mean, it's maybe a little bit too far out to really indicate it, but on the left there, just showing the position of the site within that part of the industrial area, quite in the heart of it. Just to demonstrate that further, it's, if I can just direct you to where Travis Perkins Trading Co. sign is. There are two buildings there, and it's just to the left of the lower of those two buildings. So again, it's really just to demonstrate the location of the site within the industrial area. And then lastly, if you can look to the section of the building underneath the depot, again, just to demonstrate that that's an excerpt from our local plan, which just shows the site within the industrial area. The nearest residents are located sort of within the section that's got the darker purple hatching, so they're some distance away there. They are, I would suggest, are the closest residents, so that's sort of Girdle Road. is it Hill Avenue? Yes. That's the site layout. They're the two on the left, on the right, sorry, are the two gas-fired engines that will be installed. This is an elevation showing each one would essentially look identical to each other. That's the site at the moment. So as I say, just to indicate that there is a very small site there at the end of that particular building. And a further image there, there are some conifer trees that need to come out. They would not be deemed worthy of protection in that particular location, so no objection to that from my standpoint. The key issues that really have been raised with respect to this application relate to air quality and noise. Technical reports have been submitted with respect to both issues, and there's ultimately been considered there would be no harm in either regard. With respect to air quality, two conditions were proposed. One, to ensure the stack height is a minimum of 7 metres high. This is in relation to the dispersion of any emission. Make sure it's a sufficient height dispersed into the atmosphere in the right manner. Number two, in terms of air quality, the applicant would be required to confirm in writing with our agreement that the selected gas engines are appropriate in terms of their emissions and that they would comply with the Medium Combustion Plant Directive, which is essentially EU legislation which has been ratified by in UK law recently. On the basis of that, there are no technical reasons to object from my point of view, and therefore I recommend an approval subject to the recommended conditions. Thank you.
Can I invite Councillor Val Bryant to speak as member advocate on this matter?
By Councillor Sam Collins. I am here at one of the Councillor Burton Ward, in which Cadwell Lane and Wallace Way fall. We as a Council are working hard towards improving air quality in Hitchin. This proposed development will be an industrial area which also has, close by, two nurseries and a residential area. To begin with, we have very little information about this application, particularly in comparison to the unsuccessful application at Wymondley for a gas-fired power station. A lot of information has been given to us in the last couple of days. I do have some queries, I also have some questions. I'm sure the representative from Northern Grid will be able to explain to us what will be inside the shipping containers, how modern technology is, the volume of emissions, because it's something that's quite difficult to get your head around. My questions are, first of all, about the atmospheric dispersion modelling report, for which the emissions due to, sorry, whereas the emissions reached at the accepted levels. Is that the 2015 one, or is that the 2018 one? Please let me explain. There's a new DEFRA report passed in January 2018, which hasn't yet come into force because of Brexit, stopping legislation, and work of government. What I want to know is, will generators comply to these new regulations, that's the 2018 regulation, which are more stringent? My second question is about the volume emissions being checked in the future. How will these emissions be checked if they are going to be checked? My third question is about construction traffic. What is its volume? How long would it take to build it, etc. How will these contribute to level emissions in the Grove Road and Cadwell area? Thank you.
Before you go, members, have you any questions about Councillor Weeks?
Councillor Bryan, are you suggesting that that which was proposed at Whiteley was rejected on grounds of emissions?
No, the point I was trying to make is about the amount of detail was available with the application, and both Councillor Collins and myself spent a few weeks trying to get hold of information about it. I'm not making any comments about the actual application of Whiteley at all.
I've got things to say, but okay. I was just waiting to see if there was.
Are there any other questions? Thank you, Ben.
Sorry, I was a bit late.
Oh, sorry. Why?
Apologies, not quick enough off the draw. Whereabouts is the nursery exactly in relation to the proposed site?
Bluebell's nursery is 200 metres away. The Kinders Mill Day Nursery is on the junction with Grove Road.
Okay, I see it. Where sorry, I can see it, yeah. Sort of in the right, opposite by St. John's.
This is the application.
That's scrap metal yard is probably the biggest.
Any other questions? Can I invite Mr. Ben Wallace, who may be able to put some clarification on things that have been said?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. My name is Ben Wallace, and I'm the applicant of AMP Energy Services. My name is not related to the Wallace Way, it's just a coincidence. Just I'll start with actually trying to explain what it is we are doing, because I think many people will be unsure what the Urban Reserve Project is. It is effectively a combustion engine that takes natural gas, it's the same gas that many of you will use in your homes, cooking and eating, to generate electricity during heat times. So these are the times when solar and wind are generating, typically in the winter evenings. They operate perhaps 15 to 20% of the time, and they are backup generators from the network. The idea is they are there to make sure the lights stay on. They are not there as a substitute for renewables. And in fact, we would say that with these, you're able to build more renewables because we help secure the system of renewables, which are intermittent and weather dependent. Let's try and answer the three questions, and please, hopefully I've got them right. In terms of the regulations, yes, we will have to be compliant fully with the 2018 regulations. Our site, if granted planning today, we will also have to go through a permitting process with the Environment Agency, which is a very stringent process. They are there to protect human health and the environment. We will not be able to operate unless that permit is granted. The Environment Agency will also then have to monitor our site for the lifetime of the project. We will have to report annually on the level of emissions that we are producing. I think that answers both points one and two. And in terms of construction traffic, the engines themselves are made almost entirely off-site, prefabricated, so they will arrive on two lorries. They are literally 40-foot shipping containers, albeit quite complicated 40-foot shipping containers. And in terms of construction, I would expect it to last somewhere in the region of 6 weeks. If it generates more than 20 additional vehicle movements on Wallace Way, I'd be surprised. Once operational, there's no one on site. It's actually operated remotely. So there might be a guy coming along in a van every week to make sure that everything's okay, but there is not a regular traffic generation from the site. And we really think these parts are really important on a large scale level, but also on a local level. Pitching is a demand dominated area. That means you guys consume more electricity in that area than is being generated. When you look at what we want to do with electric vehicles, there's a huge demand coming in our local urban areas. And to get petrol and diesel cars off the road, we need to start having electricity available locally. So we hope that actually, though we are emitting some nitrous oxides, but no particulate matters, which are the most dangerous to human health, we will actually be helping a long-term benefit in terms of air quality rather than being perceived as a negative. And just the last, in terms of the nursery, the air quality model looked at 17 different areas in terms of air quality, including the air quality management areas, which are three provinces to the south. Our independent specialists found there was negligible impacts on all of those areas, and that included six schools and nurseries, as well as the seven closest residential centres. So obviously welcome the officer's recommendation for approval, but happy to take any other questions that the members have.
Thank you. Members, have you got any questions or clarification of Mr. Wallace's group? Councillor Harry Spencer-Smith.
Yes, thank you for that. My question may seem slightly odd, but I'm wondering what colour the actual plant will be. At the moment, you see, we have a situation where the industrial area can be seen by many walkers on the Northern Way, North Chilterns Extension Way, and other places. The trees that you're taking out do provide a kind of intermittent breaking up of the view of a purely industrial landscape. Now, there's no proposal, as I understand, to put any other mitigating trees or things in there. Can you tell me what kind of it will be? Will the chimneys be horrible shiny things, or will they be of a matte disposition?
They will likely be an industrial grey. They're not treated specifically for landscaping purposes. We choose sites such as Wallace Way, because as far as any site is removed from the public view of an industrial landscape, so unfortunately they're not anything exciting in that sense.
Do you think they will be just shiny steel, or will they be a matte?
I would be surprised if they'll be matte, I would expect, yeah. But ultimately we have not yet purchased those areas subject to this outcome, and colour decisions. That happen at that stage.
All right, well, perhaps we can put an informative in on that. Thank you.
Councillor Mike Hewson.
Thank you. Just relating to Councillor Bryant's point about the lack of detail in terms of emissions that's available, but then you say that you know, should everything be granted and you go ahead, then you have to report annually on emissions. Mm-hmm. And I'm also assuming there's other sites like this around. How come there is such a lack of detail here on the emissions?
There are lots of sites like this nationally. This is a very small scheme, and the level of emissions are negligible. So we initially the application didn't even believe that there would be requirement for that emissions extra data. Obviously, as soon as it was requested, it was provided to the officers.
Councillor
Belcher. From my experience, I've actually installed one of these setups in 1990 for a bank up in Coventry, and I fully understand the scope of works and the containerization of the machines together with the sound attenuation specifications and so forth. What I'm interested in you've quoted here 2x2 megawatt machines. Does one of them be on standby and does one be on duty or vice versa? How does that actually work?
No, they will almost certainly operate together. They typically work between 4 and 7 in the evening during the winter months, and that is when the electricity price is higher. Basically, the electricity demand is very high. So they will operate together and then be off for probably 75% of the year.
Just finding the remark may have made about the program duration of about 6 weeks. I think that's a fairly accurate assessment of the duration.
I mean, obviously they lay a concrete pad at Ukraine, yeah. The entrance in, and then there's the electrical fit out, and that's it.
Yeah. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Terry Tyler.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to go back to the air quality. I just want to make sure I understood that the nursery is within 200 metres of this facility. You're saying the air quality is going to be acceptable for these kids, is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the air quality model says, that there's an excellent impact on all local sensitive centres. Is it Bluebell?
Yes.
It is not on the list of the 13 receptors. There are a number of schools after. I feel, looking at the plan I have in front of me in the technical report, it's probably quite close to Hillfield Avenue. Is that correct? So we have Hillfield Avenue, end of the cul-de-sac, and next to the junction, part of the boards, and the conclusions are that the impacts will be negligible.
So if this nursery is 200 metres and isn't exactly where you said you haven't got it listed?
It's not listed, but I believe where it's been pointed to is Hillfield Avenue, as close to.
So the assurances are that the air quality, when these are operating, I understand they're not operating until 4 in the afternoon, until 7 p.m. probably, but there is no risk to the youngsters attending the nursery, the 200 people.
Absolutely not, and in fact many of these projects have been granted within air quality management areas where the existing air quality is far poorer because the level of emissions is so low and so heavily checked by the Environment Agency. Recent regulations, as mentioned by the councillor, have really push down emissions and tighten up regulations, which is why many of the diesel engines, which used to do this work, have actually taken out commissions.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask Tom Donovan to respond to any of the issues raised?
Just a couple of points of clarification. With respect to the wine and the application, just to confirm that, yes, that was a much larger scheme, but it was refused on green vote grounds with no air quality grounds to refuse that application. In terms of the information that we received, the information wasn't received within the last couple of days, otherwise I'm sorry, we provided it in the updates. The air quality assessment came on the 19th of February, was considered by my colleague in the Environmental Protection Team, hence the fact that that is obviously referenced in my committee report. The noise assessment was received on the 1st of February. Perhaps we've had that information for some time and it's been robustly looked at and checked and it's been available online with the rest of the documentation. And I think the other points have all been dealt with by Mr. Wallace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Members, are there any questions, clarification of the officer's presentation? Councillor
Harry Smith. Yes, Chairman, I'd like to raise the issue of light pollution. It may sound strange. I've noticed when you read documents, both of those plan, you look at Harts County Council's policy on light pollution. There are clear directives and informatives there for people to lessen the escape of light into the atmosphere, to be sensitive in their lighting. And seen from, again, some way off, the whole industrial area now is beginning to resemble looking at an airport with so many lights. And it is a short distance from the area of outstanding natural beauty. It is bang next to otherwise open countryside. And I wonder if we could have either a condition or an informative that lighting to be installed there should be low emission and low upward escape of luminosity. That is state of the art, rather than some of the rather ramshackle lighting that one sees around on the industrial estate.
There is no lighting proposed in the scheme at this moment in time. There are no permitted development rights for lighting to, other elements like that to just crop up without some sort of variation or planning consent.
Okay. Would there not be a need for security lighting on such a plant?
I'd have to defer to Mr. Wallace on that, I think. I know his time's gone, but possibly he's going to know the answers to that.
Well, could I just ask you to bear this one in mind, then?
Well, yes, but I think we need to know, if you've asked a question and I don't know the answer, but there is a man in the room who probably does, okay. So I'm just wondering whether we...
Chairman's prerogative is, could I ask Mr. Wallace, please?
We're not intending to install any lighting. There is an existing floodlight on the buildings adjacent to that will provide lighting if we need to be on the site at night. There is no reason to think we would.
Yeah. Right, thank you. Answered, yes, after an answer. Yeah.
Committee, do you wish to debate this? Yes, Councillor
Mike. Just to allay some of the fears of councillors of this chamber, is it not possible to bring forward condition 5 before we're minded to approve this application? If that makes sense. So that's. Ensuring that the gas engines are compliant. If councillors are that worried about air quality, can we not make sure that's approved first and then approve the plan?
Well, essentially, the condition ratifies what is being proposed. So the condition isn't putting a request on the applicant that they're not suggesting they're going to fulfil. So in many respects, the proposal is wrapped up in the consent. It's not like we don't know whether it's going to comply with this. We know it will. This is more of an additional assurance, if you like, to make sure that this is the emission level that obviously does end up on site. But as far as I see it, we have it in writing already within the information that this condition is going to be complied with.
Fair enough. Okay.
Councillor Daniel.
I would like. I'd like to propose that we go with the recommendation.
Do you have a seconder?
Second, I reserve my right to speak, Chairman.
Speak.
Thank you. But I wanted to speak anyway, but if you don't mind, I'd just like to say my bit, because I have visited this site, which, as we all know, is in the middle of a large industrial estate. And between this site and the nursery is a whacking great metal... recycling thing. Now, if we're concerned about emissions, then we surely ought to be concerned with what that's chucking out rather than the 15% that this is throwing out. It's low emissions, it's a low building, low crates or whatever they are. And the fact is, Chairman, that we need these sort of things, don't we, in our modern day age with more buildings coming on stream and that sort of thing. It's a necessary evil. This is probably one of the best places to cite something like this, so yes, I would like to second that.
We need the resilience, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Hunter?
Thank you, Chairman. No, I was just going to second and actually think, if you think planning is difficult, they'll have more fun with the environmental agency getting their permit than actually coming to us. So I'm going to go along with the officer's recommendation. Yeah.
Right, we'll take that to a vote, please, members.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Well, that looks pretty much to me. Let's keep
carry it unanimously.
And I hope Council of Albright's worries have been diminished.
Maybe a banana,
okay, item 8, the Gables High Street bar in Royston. Section 73 application relating to an application that was granted on the 30th of 5th, 2018. This is a variation of condition 2 of the approved plans to facilitate a change of design and appearance of plot 7. And variations to the dwelling type scale and appearance of plots 1, 2 and 3 and 8 as amended by the drawings received on the 22nd of February. Tom Allerton to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, members. Just a very quick technical update before I do my full report. Unfortunately, apologies, there is a technical error on four of the conditions 5, 9, 17 and 18. It is just a technical error. Those conditions refer to the original approved plans, whereas they have been updated to now refer to the submitted plans. Nothing else has changed fundamentally. There's the design, just literally the plan numbers have changed. As members will probably remember, this site has been to committee two times previously. The subject application in May last year approved for 8 dwellings, and then more recently a scheme for 10 dwellings was refused in December. This is an application under Section 73 of the Town and Country Planning Act, essentially seeking material amendments to the scheme for 8, which was approved in May. The changes to the various plots are listed at 4.2.2 on page 45 of the agenda. I'll just take you through some of the quick photos, which you will have seen before. So this is the entrance, that's the doctor's surgery on the High Street. That's the paddock, so that's looking west, with the doctor's surgery behind. That resembles about two-thirds to a half of the site. That's the paddock again looking west, that's the northern boundary. That's the rear garden of the Gables property itself, which makes up the other half of the site. So that there is the plan which was approved back in May, showing the 8 dwellings. And this is now what is before you to be amended. Essentially, fundamentally, the layout is the same. The open space at the centre is going to be retained. The plots which are changing, if you work from the northeastern edge, plots 1 and 2, pair of semi-detached properties, they'll be changing in terms of the design, as will plot 3. Next, the terrace row that you see on the southwestern boundary, they're staying the same. The more fundamental change is to plot 7, at that southern one at the end of the cul-de-sac. That was originally approved as a two-storey timber-clad barn-style dwelling. It's now a larger 2.5-storey five-bedroom dwelling, which we'll see in a minute. And then lastly, going back to the entrance of the site, plot 8, that's also changing its design. So that's plots 1 and 2. They were originally approved as a pair of semi-detached properties, but in brick. This is plot 7, like I say, this is the more fundamental change. This is the bigger unit. And I think that's plot 8, which was going to be brick, now going to be tin clad. That's plot 7 as previously approved. So that will no longer, if this is approved, that will no longer be in that far southern corner of the site. Instead, what's being proposed is that one. Essentially, as I say, it's still for 8 dwellings. The former layout is still the same. Open space has been retained, public benefits are the same, and it's still a relatively low density edge of rural village development. Therefore, I'm satisfied, in my professional opinion, that this is also acceptable, and so it's your officer's recommendation that the application be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Can I invite Mr. Bampton, who is the applicant's agent, to address you?
Good Good evening, Mr. Bantage.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Yeah, Bill Batten from Pelham Structures. I'm the agent for the application, but also the proposed builder stroke development of the site. I'll just reiterate what I mentioned about Pelham Structures the last time I was here. We pride ourselves on doing an exceptional job in rural properties, both in general use of traditional materials. We're anticipating using handmade tiles. Lots of detail in the render, boarding, and appropriate bricks that will make this look incredibly in keeping with the settlement. And there are numerous examples of our work not too far away. We're only based, as the crow flies, about 4 miles from this site, just across the border in Essex. I think I mentioned when I was here before, we built one of our flagship schemes is Mangerton Sports and Community Centre, 14 enabling houses, which was considered as such high quality, it was actually opened by the Princess Anne. We are absolutely confident that we can do a stunning scheme on this site. As Tom mentioned, the site already has planning for 8 houses. And we came back a few months ago for an alternate scheme with 10 houses. And the principal reason for coming back for 10 is in the negotiations to do with the 8, because we originally made an application for 9, modified it, and in modifying it to satisfy conservation and the planning officer, we ended up with 2 areas which were really too big a compromise for our client and also the housing association. Basically, the 2 low-cost houses weren't originally designed into the scheme, but we agreed that we would make 2 of them low-cost. And because they hadn't been designed for low-cost, they were basically too large for their bedroom size and they wouldn't have been affordable. And then the other issue was that in our original scheme that we changed, one of the requirements of the owner was that we built a house specifically for him. And in the negotiations, going from 9 houses to 8, that house disappeared. So we basically had a scheme that didn't provide what our owner wanted and compromised low-cost housing. So we modified both of those, and we came back to you a few months ago with the 10-house scheme. And you very politely told me not to disagree with you. Go away and redesign the 8-house scheme to take out those 2 compromises, which is basically the scheme for you.
Right. Okay, I remember you.
The scheme in its current form is supported by your most able planning officer and your conservation officer. And hopefully you'll recognise the reasons for the changes. It still has all of the community benefits of the previous scheme, which is the 2 low-cost housing. Enlarged parking for the doctor's practice, moving a transformer which enables the doctor's practice to expand, and in a small way also benefiting the local community. So we're local builders and the money goes back into the local community. So hopefully you'll be able to support the officer's view and approve the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Banton. Members, have you any questions or clarification of Mr. Banton's presentation? Daniel Allen.
Just a quick one, and if you can't answer this, that's fine. Should I assume that the major aesthetic changes to plot 7 are to allow the owner to have a house preferable to his style as opposed to a barn conversion?
That's, it's not just the change from a barn conversion look to that particular house, it's a layout that he particularly wanted. That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Could we just have plot 7 up on the screen again, please?
Which one do you want?
No, plot 7 is fine, but
Sorry, just quickly, if I tried to show this plan originally on my part of my presentation. As you're probably aware, there's another application that you're going to debate after this one for an amendment. So this is a cross-section looking from the west at the site, and it's got all three scenarios there. So that top one is the application is approved. As you can see, there's the barn-style dwelling on the right. Ignore the middle one, because we're about to debate that one. And it's the third one. That's the one that you're currently considering. If you can just about make out, it does provide, if you like, on that third cross-section, a red line indicating the size. So you compare the size of the previously approved barn style and the now largest ones. Yeah. Essentially, they are of a very similar width and height. It's generally the overall bulk would be increased. Hopefully that's helpful. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blunt. Have you any further on any issue you should raise?
No, thank you,
Jim. Okay. Members, have you any questions of clarification of the officer's presentation? Everybody happy? Would you like to debate this? Oh, sorry, Councillor Terry Tyler.
I think this is just a matter of me being really confused. I can not really see the difference between what we're debating now, item 8, and item 9. It's confusing. Can you clarify what the difference is?
Well, I think when we get to item 9, you'll realise.
That's it, yeah.
Would you allow the representative to answer? Is that to answer?
Well, we're actually questioning now the officer. Would you like to debate this, members? No? Have I got a recommendation from anybody there? Councillor Turner Hunter?
Turner Hunter, that's a good one. Turner Hunter, that's a good one. Members may remember that I originally put a case against the original 8 application, and obviously even with the emerging local plan and the fact that the village boundary is changing, still the paddocks, as shown on the illustrations that you saw earlier, is outside the village plan. And personally, at the time, I argued under policy 16 that this should not be granted, but the committee decided to grant. I note within this that the conservation officer has now retracted and agreed with the planning officer, but as a matter of principle, I'm afraid I won't be supporting the officer's recommendation, but I can quite understand what will happen in the next few moments.
Thank you, Councillor Hunter. Councillor Ian Mantle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand it, we've already granted permission for 8 houses on this site, and all we're considering is a change of the design of some of the houses.
Right.
I'm going to suggest that unless we can find a reason why we would have rejected this if this had been the original application, we should be approving it, and I'll therefore so propose.
Have I got a seconder? Councillor Mike Hewson?
Happy to second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we go to vote, please?
Yes.
Thank you, members. That's carried. Item 9, Gables High Street Barney. think everybody's aware that this is to do with relocation, change of appearance, of plot 7 and switching it. So shall I take you straight to Tom Allington to introduce the report?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll keep it brief because this is the same site. Again, apologies for the errors on the same conditions, 5, 9, 17, and 18. Again, it's just a technicality. It's a correction to plan numbers again. Again, same site, paddock, the rear of the gables. Mm-hmm. That is what was approved back in May. This is what's now before you this time around. So it's the same changes as just discussed, except the fundamental difference in this one is the terrace of three have now been shifted and swapped location with the big five-bed property. They've switched locations. Otherwise, all the changes are the same as previously presented. So that's the terrace, mm-hmm. which is, apart from the location, the same in terms of design and scale as approved back in May. Mm-hmm. And again, that is what was previously plot 7, but it's actually now only plot 4 because it's changed location. Thank you, Jim.
4, 7, 7, 4.
Well, I can invite Mr. Bampton to speak again on this matter if he wishes to.
Yeah, I'd be delighted. Everything I said previously applies to this scheme. With just one difference, which is it's not meant to be a spot the difference competition. I think it's now been pointed out. Basically, the owner of the site that wishes us to build a house didn't wish it to be in a position where he's looking at the back of his old house. He wanted it to be in outside his old garden because he would have actually felt that he lived rather than worrying about what people were doing with his house. And you might ask, well, why didn't we just apply for that? And we did put the drawings in for that, but initially the conservation officer said that she felt we should put the house in the back garden, which isn't where we wanted it. So we basically applied for both. Thank you.
Any questions of clarification, members? No? Have you anything further to say, Mr. Dunlop?
Nothing to add, thank you, Chairman.
Any questions, members of Mr. Donovan? Councillor.
Could you please put up that previous slide? I found it very helpful with the three. Mm. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So we're now talking about the third one down. Is that right?
It's now the second.
Oh, second one down. Level. Second one down.
Yeah.
Councillor
Terry Tyler. Sorry, I'll just. Red. Right. I was thinking it's such a straightforward thing. I was going to move it to motion to agree.
Yeah.
Do you have a second?
Happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor. Can we go to a vote, please? I don't know what the answer's going to
do.
One against. No? Yes. That's therefore carried with the majority. We now move on to planning of bills, decisions. So, can I pass you over to Tom Wright?
Thank you, Chairman. Just one appeal there. It's not actually a decision, which is an application of the withdrawal of that appeal. There is one other appeal decision that we have received. Members might recall the development at Treherne Close in Hitchin, the 16 property, which had been extended and then subsequently subdivided into two dwellings. We received notice of an appeal decision from the inspector on the 1st of March. And he has allowed the appeal subject to that will appear on the JD papers next time with a full report check.
Does anybody want to bring up any other business? No?
No, thank you.
Therefore, close the meeting.
Thank you very much.
That's really the spot of that drama. Very small.